If you have your Bibles, can you open with me to Exodus chapter 3? And I'm going to be reading verses 10 to 15. So now go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I'll be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation.'"
Thanks, Amy. Keep your finger in that spot in the Bible. And we will move into this passage very shortly. Good morning and welcome. If you're visiting with us this morning, very special warm welcome. And please stay for a cuppa afterwards. Get myself a little bit sorted. There's questions up on the screen. What are you going to learn today? What's God going to say to you? And what are you going to do? It's always the big one, isn't it, as well? But the big one is, what's God going to say to you? So there's the three questions this morning, but before we get into the message, let's pray, then we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for this time of worship, this time where we can gather together and lift up our voices to you and give you thanks, and to share around communion, Lord, because you love us so much. And Father, just we thank you for Jesus and what he's done on the cross for us, that we might have life everlasting, forgiveness of sins. And Father, we just thank you with all of our hearts this morning. Bless us as we come into your word, and Lord, I just pray that you will open our hearts and minds this morning and hear what you would have us to hear and be challenged, Lord, to just to be more like Jesus in the way that we do life and the things that we say and in our character. Lord, we just ask for continued transformation in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, up on the screen, you can see that's the title of our message today, Recruited. You might have seen it coming in on the little screen outside in the foyer. But we're going to have a look at a bit of the scripture in Exodus that Amy has read to us this morning, and maybe a little bit more of it as well as we move into this theme this morning. But first of all, I just want you to cast your minds back. I'll put up on the screen, you might remember this, Wreck the Roof. It was a teaching series that I shared with you back in April, May, and it was over 3 weeks where we introduced and explored four friends who were willing to do whatever it took to introduce a paralyzed man to Jesus, to experience our Lord's forgiveness and his love. Their focus was not on themselves, as we learnt. Driven by compassion and their faith, they made a way. They literally, what did they do? They wrecked a roof. And one of the scriptures which sums up all of that, I'll put up on the screen, from Luke 5:19. It says, "When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus." What a picture that is. However, as we discovered during that time when we were talking about this, just like the four blokes who encountered, what did they encounter? They encountered obstacles along the way. Well, they could have. I mean, big crowd, probably heaps of donkeys everywhere, nowhere to park their donkey, I don't know. But we too also encounter obstacles, don't we? And my question this morning is, from that series, and if you were able to join us, how are you going? You might be thinking, obstacles, Miles? What obstacles? Or the question is, or are they excuses? Now this morning, I have some lovely people they're going to hand out. Thanks, guys. You can do the job. There's going to be a small handout this morning that you will receive. Hopefully there's enough to go around. But It's going to be, you probably saw in the newsletter this week, something around Dead Set. I'll put it up on the screen about what Dead Set is. And I just want to explain that a little bit to you. It's basically an Australian adjective, which means 100% sure of it, without a doubt, it's the truth. An example is, that bloke is a Dead Set legend. So, in that mode, I suppose, if you like, I'm just going to ask Andrew, since you prayed this morning, we're living in the moment, so we're going to live in the moment right now. Yeah, come on up. He doesn't know about this. Because I've been living in this moment all week. Can you remove my coat, please? Yes, dandruff. Dandruff, I know there's dandruff. Thank you, thank you. You can keep it for a little while if you like. But yeah, on my shirt is the word Dead Set. So I've been living in this moment all week, and I've been enjoying getting ready to share with you today. So, when the newsletter went out this week as well, that was on the in the newsletter on the email side of it. I received a text. Is Mick here today? He's not. Mick's not here. But anyway, Mick Thompson sent me a text straight away, and boy, good on you, Mick. Here we go. He says, "Just reading the newsletter, and this came to mind. What did the hippie say when his TV stopped working? Dead set, man." I had to... good on you, Mick. That was great. All right. Dead set. 100% sure. Definitely. No doubt about it. Sure thing. Now, when I was pastoring out in Roma, I regularly conducted a church service in an aged care facility. And that facility was known as Pinaroo. I loved the residents dearly, and many of them had tremendous influence upon my ministry experiences. But I remember on one particular morning, one resident lady, by memory, I'm pretty sure her name was Merle Scott, I think it was, who told the aged care nurse that she didn't think she would go to church that day. I distinctly remember hearing what was said. Merle said, "I can't lift my arm to my hair to comb it." I thought, well, dead set. That was a pretty lame excuse to skip church. No one challenged her. Perhaps she had arthritis, I don't know, that really made it difficult for her to comb her hair. I know she had a lot of pride, and she wouldn't think of going to church with her hair maybe in a mess, I don't know. Or perhaps since she had been to church many times before, that she just lost her enthusiasm. But I found out before I left that day from one of the nurses that Merle, while we were having church together, she was alone in her room sitting on her bed, waiting for a phone call from one of her children who was having surgery the next day. And she did not want to miss it. Was the "can't lift my arm to comb my hair" an excuse? Yes, it was. Likewise, I believe, when it comes to our faith, we too, at time, will make excuses. There are times when we rationalise that things like waiting for a phone call are a high priority. What else could there be besides that? We know these answers in many ways. There is work, family, chores, and a whole list of other responsibilities that demand our energy and time. I believe that Merle was a woman of faith. But on that particular morning, she had a higher calling. That was to fulfill her role as a mum and care for her family. She really didn't have to make an excuse for skipping church. She could have just said she wanted to stay in her room and receive a special phone call, and we would have understood. But all of us find ourselves from time to time when our faith calls us to do one thing, but family or work calls us to do another. Sometimes we feel guilty, and sometimes we feel forced to make a decision which may not be popular with everyone. And sometimes we just feel as though the opportunity is just beyond our limits. So let's look at our passage today. And can I say today, Moses was, and we'll look at that word there, recruited. Moses was recruited by God to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. God called Moses, but Moses doubted his leadership skills. And as was read to us, verse 11, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Was Moses feeling insecure, lacking confidence in his ability to lead? Or was he making an excuse? Perhaps he was just complaining, or perhaps he was overwhelmed at the thought of being God's chosen representative. As this discussion with God continues, and it goes into chapter 4, and yes, we're going to sneak into chapter 4 today, Moses raises scenarios as to why he may not be the man for the job. But before we dig in, I just want to give you a fun fact, if you like. Some of you may know this, but our Bible, the Scripture, there weren't chapters and verses in the original Scripture. It was only in the around about the 1200s, 1300s, where the Old Testament was put into chapters and verses, and then the New Testament. So in 1561, it was the first English Bible came out where there was complete chapters and verses. So we've got to be careful, I think, as we read God's Word, because quite often now we ended a chapter, or we've read chapter 4, or chapter 3, or chapter 2. But we need to keep reading to get the full context, I guess, if you like, that God gives us. So we need to be careful. And I know in our Bibles, they even give a small, might be a little label about the theme of that little bit of Scripture. That's good, but keep in mind, please, that keep reading. Don't be afraid to keep going to see the bigger picture. But anyway, that's why we're going to sneak into chapter 4 today, besides chapter 3. So Moses had been living a quiet and peaceful life as a shepherd for about 40 years when God called him. Moses simply refused to accept the responsibility of dealing with the Pharaoh of Egypt, even though he knew everything about Egyptian culture and problems and the problems of Israel's slavery. He attempted to get out of God's calling by making, can I say, there were five excuses. We're going to briefly look at these this morning. Moses' first excuse, that he was a nobody and totally inadequate to do what God was calling him to do. And if you want to, you can look it up, Exodus 3:11-12, which is what was part of our reading today. God told Moses he would certainly be with him and enable him to do all that he wanted done. So he was assured. Second excuse was that he did not have an answer concerning whose authority he had to be Israel's deliverer. That's found in 13-22. This was really quite foolish, actually. God told Moses that he was Jehovah, the self-existent creator, who was sending him to Egypt. The infinite God of the universe would give him the authority to act in his great name, I am who I am. Moses was to tell the Israelites in Egypt that God was going to deliver them from slavery, I'm just summarizing this, and take them to the promised land that he had given to their forefather Abraham. God would deliver Israel through the display of supernatural miracles. Moses was still not submissive here, after being explained all this from verses 13-22, and gave God what? His third excuse. Moses' third excuse is found in chapter 4, verses 1-9, and basically he raised the possibility with God that none of the leaders in Israel would believe that God had sent him. God's response was that he gave Moses the ability to manifest three supernatural miracles, and this would prove that God had sent him. You can read about that there in Exodus. Moses was still belligerent and gave God another excuse. It's found in 4:10-12. Moses' fourth excuse, Moses said that he was not an eloquent speaker and had problems speaking. It is interesting to note that in Acts 7:22, if you have a read of that, states that when Moses was in Egypt before his exile, he was, get this, mighty in words. He was, in other words, a good wordsmith, a good speaker. But here we have Moses had either lost his ability to speak or was just making another excuse. God answered Moses and told him that he would enable him to speak and teach him what to say. Moses' fifth and final excuse. Moses simply told God that he was unqualified for the task and that he should get a better qualified person to do it. At this point, the Bible states that God got angry with Moses. God's answer was that he would allow his older brother Aaron to assist him, but that Moses would still be God's choice to be Israel's deliverer from slavery. And in Exodus 4:18 to 20, what do we find? Moses finally submitted to obey God. Moses is a great example of how God can initially take an unwilling and belligerent man and transform him into a very powerful and effective servant. Moses developed a very intimate, as we know, and personal relationship with God, as Scripture tells us of the story continuing. So, why did Moses finally give in? Was it because God gave him enough assurance to see him through the mission? Or was it because God said he could use Aaron, his brother, to help him? If we look at this, it wasn't until God got angry with Moses that Moses had no choice but to do what God had requested. In other words, God turned up the heat. When it came to Moses, God would not accept any excuses. God chose Moses to lead the Israelites. God believed that Moses had the faith and leadership to complete the mission. God kept the pressure on Moses until he relented. So, what does God ask of us? I reckon there's a few things. Like Moses, this one straightforward, I believe, God wants us to be faithful. For Moses, it meant leading a group of oppressed people to the promised land. It meant acknowledging God at every step along the way. It meant trusting that God would provide everything they needed on their journey. How's that happening for you? I believe that what God wants for us is not a whole lot different than what God expected of Moses. Not that God expects us all to be leaders, but that God expects us to be about, I'll put these up on the screen, liberating people who are in bondage, freeing people through forgiveness and compassion, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, worshipping God and showing our gratitude. Can I add to that? Gratitude all year long. Trusting that God will be with us on our life's journey. Do you agree with those? Hope so. But all of those, however, they require something. What do they require? And that they require from us a response. But like Moses, what have we got sometimes? We have our excuses. We have many things to do. We have to go here and there. There is never enough time. Those things that consume us, they become our idols. We give them such high priority, they become sacred. Thus, we make excuses when it comes to our faith. Oh, sorry, I'm busy. I just don't have the time. I have to be somewhere else, etc., etc. I want to share with you just a quick story. And I recall this story. It's really hard to recall, actually, because I don't know how old I was, but I'm not sure of the exact detail, but I'll try and get it right. It was a story my dad told, and I know he'll be watching this and online later, and I'll probably get it wrong, but anyway. But it was a long time ago. And my dad's a Gideon out there, and he delivers Bibles and things like that. Not so much now. He's retired and at home. But very busy he was delivering Bibles out west. He lives at Roma, and he did a lot of trips out west. But anyway, he was in a group of about three men, maybe four, traveling way out west of Queensland. And it was somewhere out the other side of Quilpie, Erromanga, Ada Vale, and I think Junda was in there as well. But they went way out west where there was just dirt roads. Anyway, I remember Dad telling me that they had done several stops, such as hotels, pubs, little schools, and a lot of kilometres, of course. They were on their way back and running very late to get back to their motel before dark to avoid the wildlife on the roads. They drove past a turn off to one of the small schools. I can't remember which one it was. And they didn't call in because it was just too late in the day. They just had to keep going. And they went a long way down that road towards back to their motel. I don't know, it was 20 minutes, half an hour, nearly 40 minutes. I don't know what it was, but it was a long time, I remember. And the driver, who was another Gideon, of course, just pulled up in the middle of the road and just stopped. They looked at each other, had a brief conversation, turned around, and went straight back to that school. And the principal teacher of that school had been praying that week on how to get some Bibles. Wow. That just sent goosebumps up into my neck and just all of that sort of stuff. I'm not sure exactly that's how the story went, but it is along those lines. But the point, what happened? The excuse of running late did not hold. Galatians 5:25, we're going to get to this a little bit later, is the answer that I will refer to soon. Galatians 5:25, remember that one. So when it comes to faith, are we willing to make changes along the way? The Gideon's trip back to the motel went well, by the way. But when something as important as obedience to the mission is on the line, are we willing to do whatever it takes? Make a change, whatever that is. So I have two questions for you this morning. The first one is, what happens when God wants you to do something? Personal question, what happens when God wants you to do something? Second question, how far are you willing to change when your faith is demanding your time and energy, all the different stuff? Excuses become a way of justifying our priorities. Even some of Moses' excuses seemed reasonable, but God was not impressed. God kept the pressure on Moses until he responded, as we know. Perhaps today's church is too nice, too easy. Perhaps we have fallen into the trap of accepting excuses as a way of life. Or perhaps we are simply unwilling to change. Up on the screen, you read that? No, I can't either. I'll make it a bit bigger. Dead set. Dead set. Turn to your cards. It's on your cards this morning. That's a really big bookmark, by the way, for your Bible. Do I get riled up? Sometimes I do. Sometimes I do get riled up. Not sure sometimes you guys get riled up as well. But I'm not going to pound the pulpit. But I've got riled up a little bit this week preparing this message. And dead set, it's just been on my mind. And it came through in these words. Let's be honest. Excuses are no more than a defense mechanism for resisting change. When God called Moses, God told him in verse 5, you can go back there and have a read of that if you like, to take off his shoes. For the ground upon which he stood was holy ground. Removal of the sandals had to do with an act of submission. God wants to be worshipped. God wants to be acknowledged. God wants us to be faithful. There are no excuses. The only way to be transformed by the power of God or being an agent of God's transforming power is to submit to God ourselves. Yes, like me, I'm sure like you as well, there are times when we all make excuses in those moments. We use them to resist what God wants of us. We use them to resist making changes in our lives that will, in the long run, make us better followers and, can I say, sharers of the gospel. I believe that God will keep challenging each and every one of us to the day we die, until that day happens, or until he returns. Amen to that. The only way to be people of faith is to walk and keep in step with the Spirit. Remember back to my dad's Gideon story. Galatians 5:25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. What does that mean? What's that look like for you? Sharing the gospel. We have to share the gospel. We've been asked to share the gospel. I truly believe that we cannot be who God has called us to be without his Spirit that directs, shapes, and moves us. Obstacles? Question mark. What obstacles? Is there an excuse or excuses that need to be removed in your life? Only you and God know that answer. My advice to you today and for me is best work that out with him. You best work that out with him. Moses was recruited to deliver the people from the bondage of slavery into freedom and lead them to the promised land. What about us? We're recruited as well. We are recruited as followers to introduce people to Jesus so that they can be delivered through a relationship with him to be free from sin and have the hope of eternal life, the promised land. We are what? We are recruited to share the gospel. That's what we need to do. Obstacles, excuses, I don't know. You've got to work it out with God. But look what, he didn't let up on Moses, did he? Moses kept on offering excuses, but he didn't let up, turned up the heat. We need to share the gospel to make Jesus known. I could say this, dead set, we are recruited to share the gospel and wreck the roof. But the really wonderful part of all of that is, see what's written up the top left-hand corner of the screen there? God said, I will be with you. God said, I will be with you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let us stand and sing our last hymn this morning. It's a